Morning.
Hey, Curtis.
Hey, how are you, Kelly?
Well, good. I got Audra here with me and got you on the
Okay.
speakerphone, but hopefully you can hear us
Okay.
okay.
Well, good
How are
morning,
you?
Audra. I'm
Good
good. I'm
morning.
good. Did you all have a nice Thanksgiving?
We did. We
Very
did.
much
How
so.
about you?
Yes, I spent mine Thanksgiving with some friends who invited me over and
Nice.
Good celebration, lots of food, and I went down to San Diego for a brief period of time, but got back. I didn't spend Thanksgiving down there, and visited with some family members, and wanted to get out of there before the snow and the rain hit the mountain pass. So
Oh,
it's been
wow.
a mess out here, but yeah, it's just been raining constantly, snow in the Sierras. So for skiers, it's getting really, really good.
Well, we're going to Lake Tahoe for spring break, so.
Oh, you were in Lake Tahoe?
No, we're going to Lake Tahoe for spring break, so it ought to be a good ski season for us.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Oh
snow
yeah.
already in a lot of these
Yeah,
places.
there should be plenty of snow when you get there. I used to my favorite time to go skiing was always around the spring break time, around February and March, because it was not as cold. So
Right.
I'm sure you'll enjoy that. Are you going to
Yes,
fly
I
into
will.
Tahoe, or are you going to fly into the Bay Area and drive up?
We're going to fly into Reno, is what we do, and then just
Oh,
drive
okay.
up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. There's so many resorts. Do you
Oh,
have
yes.
something in mind?
We love this little resort called Homewood.
Oh,
And
Homewood, yes.
we love
Yeah.
Heavenly. Those were the two that we really, really enjoyed skiing. And they're very different from each other. And we feel like it's a real nice contrast.
Right. Yeah, Heavenly has got that last run of the day. I usually take the chairlift back down. It's called Gun Barrel.
Okay.
It's the last run, and usually it's full of moguls and a very steep incline. But I've skied, that's in South Lake Tahoe, so I like the North Shore with Squaw, Alpine Meadows, and places like that. But I've skied Heavenly, and I used to ski 30 days a year, but not so much anymore.
30
So
days a
that'll be a
year.
fun trip.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be a fun trip. More and more snowboarders are out there though now. Less
Yes.
skiers, more snowboarders.
Yes. So I'll
Well,
never convert.
yeah, really. Well, let's kind of talk about your agenda first, and maybe some things that are on your mind, and then we'll kind of maybe get into some of the things that we talked about last time in terms of assignments. So why don't we start with some of the things that might be on your mind first of all, relative to the business. Give me an update, and how you're doing, how you're feeling.
I feel like we're not, at least on my part, I'm not hitting on all parts of the supernova model quite yet, even though that's kind of hard to believe, but I'm not.
Okay.
I felt like there was a deficiency in my notes area,
Right.
and
Okay.
I got with Audra and Bridget about using like a I don't even know what they call it. It's like what they use in doctor's offices. It's like a little thing you
Dictaphone.
talk, dictaphone you talk into. And
Okay.
I was like, would you be opposed to me just putting like brief call notes in that? Because I'm not doing badly like on follow-up emails to the clients and things
Right.
like that, as much as I am just not making like typed in entry notes into our
Okay.
system. You might say, well, why don't you just use the email as the documentation, which would be the natural answer, but we just
Okay.
went through a big migration to Salesforce And we
have Well, you've had a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't, for whatever reason, been able to get the emails to, without it being a cumbersome thing, to store into the Salesforce system. I mean, it's still an ongoing migration thing, so I think it'll get there. We're just not there yet. And so I kind of use that as an opportunity to say, okay, well, is there a better way to maybe get notes into the system? And so Audra and Bridget are working on that. And then as far as business initiatives, we're literally, you know, kind of on the, I guess, the final stages of a 60-day process where we converted approximately 20 retirement plans over to a new provider that we actually have a long-term relationship with. I mentioned that in prior calls. And
right.
I think we're picking up some efficiencies from that. And I guess what's top
and
of and revenue and what's top of mind for me right now, Audra may have a different take on that. And Bridget is actually working in our operations area today on the front desk because her sister's out this week with her husband who's got stage 4 multiple myeloma. So there's some medical issues going on there. But anyway, what's top of mind for me is I really want to make sure that in mid-December and going into this next year that we have a well-defined game plan for two areas, you know, the broader goals of the group for the next 12 months, which I've got quarterly goals written out, but I haven't really annualized that. I just kind of know through January 30th what our group goals are, but I really want to extend that out and kind of have a series of, you know, 90-day sprints for the next four quarters and get that, you know, kind of defined over the next week or so and communicated to Audra and Bridget and, you know, kind of like this is what the group's goals are going to be for the year, not just for the quarter. And then also we have a center of influence that I think could be a really good opportunity, which is the PEO that we've been working with. And we're converting their plan next week, the assets transfer over next week. And I really want to make sure that we work deliberately with them. I've got a system in place that I want you to look at some point and give us your thoughts on. But that's been a really hard thing to get off the ground because of the prior provider experience that we had with them, which wasn't positive. And we separated with them in late August and, you know, the current provider's been doing a really nice job and everything's going fine. So, but that's kind of what's top of mind for me because I'm sitting out there and I'm going, well, there's 800 businesses out there. Some of them really small, some of them pretty good sized businesses. And if we focus on family businesses, that's a natural center of influence where we need to build out that relationship and make the most of it and leverage it. That's what's top of mind for me right now is that. Now, there's also the issue of the marketing piece, and quite frankly, we need to get more strategic about our marketing. I don't feel like we're being as thoughtful and doing as much as we can there. But I want to tie that back to the goals and what we kind of talked about for our call. So I know there's three things, but that's kind of where I'm at. Audra, what do you got?
I say that's exactly it.
What I pretty much said?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm not missing any gaps or something.
So let's break these things down into some categories here. You know, the first thing on the email and the notes and the efficiency, that's kind of the administrative operational category, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we'll kind of put that. How do we continue to move forward in terms of operationalizing the business? The game plan, I'm going to call that your kind of your strategic bucket, which is your strategy and your initiatives, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so we want to segment that, which is your game plan is about your goals, it's about your initiatives, and then there's kind of the new business development bucket, and that's having, you know, the proper face time with potential prospects, centers of influence, so on and so forth. So we got new business development category, and then I would say the other part is just marketing the practice, you know, and that's, you know, how you are facing off with your constituency and potential constituency. So essentially, we've got one, administrative operational, two, strategic initiatives, three, business development, and then the fourth is marketing the practice. Okay. So now, as you develop your strategy going forward, those ought to be maybe your four initiatives that you want to, you know, put some work toward. Okay. So
you say four initiatives. I got three of them. I've got admin operations is one. Strategy, business development is two, and then marketing is three.
Okay. Well, I further broke them down into strategy, which is kind of your game plan and your goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I put that one down there. And then what I did is I put new business development, kind of the client acquisition component, as a number three. And then number four is facing off on the marketing of the practice, which gets into new business, which is, you know, part of new business development, which would maybe be a subcategory for the new business development component. But I put marketing as a separate one because, you know, part of that is what kind of, you know, tools, techniques, social media, how are we going to define marketing the practice? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, what's said, how people receive, you know, your brochures, your messaging, that type of thing.
It's more macro, where the business development is more micro.
Yes. Yes. I would say so. I would say so. Because marketing is always about, you know, who is your audience, clearly defining, okay, mm-hmm. elevating your targets, which you have been doing. It's so it's the people, which it targets. It's the place, which is your focus, where you focus your energy, which is still in that corporate wellness pension area. And then it's let's see, how would I express this? Kind of the kind of how you advertise your practice. It's that messaging that goes out, okay? And
mm-hmm.
it's how your centers of influence or your mastermind group, how they message, you know, your practice for you. So what you've got to do is now leverage the talent externally to drive business your way, because you only have so much bandwidth. So that's where the leverage really becomes. And I'd like you to think about that as we go into to next year. It's like, you know, who can help you build your practice, your referral lead program, that type of thing. Okay.
Okay. Right.
So those are the categories, and you know, you can easily say that they're three or four or however you want to, you know, organize it, but that's what I've just written, you know, from my notes. Now, one of the things, so that you don't feel, you know, inadequate, but you're doing a really, really good job, administrative and operational components will continue to evolve. Your strategic initiatives will continue to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
How you running business development will continue to evolve, and marketing your practice will continue to evolve. So, you know, don't think that you're not standing still. It's just that you're making an evolution in all these things. And you know, like most, you know, most FAs, most team members are constantly looking for perfection. And what happens is they get something down, and then it opens up another window or door of opportunity, and then all of a sudden you start to feel, you know, a little inadequate again, because there's just that next step or next hurdle that you have to overcome. So what I'd like you to do is maybe think about it more as an evolution of your business, that it's continuing to evolve. You're going to have to continuously look at segmentation, organization, delegation of duties and responsibilities, client acquisition, everything that you've, you know, learned in Supernova, but you're going to have to continue to modify and evolve your practice. That's kind of how I'd like you to maybe be thinking about it. What do you think?
I think that makes sense, because I think what we're really talking about is a framework for the rest of our career, honestly. I mean, you either evolve and you grow out of that evolution, or you just kind of, you know, become irrelevant.
Or you get stuck, you know, and then, you know, when you get stuck, then, you know, my job is to help you get unstuck.
Right.
You know, the biggest concern I have is you've got a great administrative assistant, but, you know, she's not working for you full time, which means,
right,
you know, you find yourself, you know, you're going to take something from these areas, okay? So if you're doing administrative, operational kinds of things, you're going to take away your FaceTime with clients and or prospects, which in an ideal situation, that's the only thing that, you know, personally, I would like to see you doing, is this FaceTime. FaceTime with prospects, FaceTime with COIs, FaceTime with the mastermind group, FaceTime having meetings, getting referrals. But, you know, because if you do that, the FaceTime is going to roll into the new business development. And if you're doing that, you don't have to do too much in terms of marketing the practice. I don't want you to have, you know, like five different things you're trying to do to market your practice.
Yeah, no.
Okay?
Yeah.
You got to get it down to maybe one or two things that give you the kind of cachet and visibility that you're looking for.
Understand. I do.
You
can't, if you spread yourself too thin with your message, then it gets diluted, and, you know, you become a jack of all trades, master of none kind of.
Yeah. And you don't have the bandwidth for that. You don't have the bandwidth. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, you are elevating the targeted client that you go after, and you're constantly working at efficiency, you know, getting your executive summaries out, doing your follow-up type stuff. And, you know, so, again, you got to evaluate what Bridget can do, what Audra can do, so that you can spend as much time as possible on client-facing activities. You know, there are FAs out there that spend less than 30% of their time with client-facing activities. They're so overwhelmed. Okay? So if you were to put a percentage around your client-facing activities right now, what do you think, how much time do you spend on client-facing activities?
And by client
versus the other stuff.
Are you talking about clients or prospects?
Well, both. Yeah, both.
And by facing, do you mean physical facing or phone?
Phone calls,
okay.
Appointments, that type of thing.
I think it's in about 35 to 40% range.
Okay.
It's not high enough, and I know it's an issue.
Yeah.
I know part of my problem has been I've been just kind of, honestly,
so the goal for the team should be, how do we help Kelly maybe get to 50 to 60, okay, on those activities? How do we get him to do that? What can we get Kelly to let go of so that he can spend that kind of time? How do we get more efficiency so that you might be able to get to that 50 to 60% kind of category looking at next year? And I think that's where you start to build your plan around that.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is going to be, you know, what you can, you know, get from Bridget.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, every now and then, you know, I know you've got a very challenging managerial situation, but, you know, I often, when people came to me and said, look, I want to grow my business by X percent over the next 3 years, but in order to do that, I'm going to need this. And I would often meet people halfway and help them with the resources that they needed in order to get that. Because if they get those goals, I'm going to have more flexibility in terms of resource allocation anyway. And so that's how I wanted them to communicate with me. Tell me what you think you can do, where you're going. They would have the business plan. They'd share it with me. We'd roll it out. And I said, sell me on where you need the resources in order to get that kind of efficiency. And I realize that that might be difficult for you, but I see, you know, your team as being maybe one of the few teams that can really grow exponentially if you have, you know, the resources.
Yeah, it's an issue. I mean, I think one of the challenges we've got is, and, you know, whether it's my fault or whatever, I mean, I'll own whatever I need to own on this deal. But, I mean, like, we had one experience earlier in the year where Audra kept having monitor issues, and this just went on and on and on and on. And in retrospect, I should have just gone down to Best Buy and bought the $20 monitor and plugged it in.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It was 8 requests and, what, 15, okay, 18 months later before you got a monitor that actually was a reliable monitor. And so,
right,
you know, you look at that and, you know, you look at that kind of environment where just even something very basic and simple like a warranted monitor went out. And look at, go through just to get something, little basic thing like that done, it's like a 10
major
second,
undertaking, huh?
A 10 second decision for any of us on the call. And you start to wonder,
right,
okay, what's their real goal here? Are they really trying to help us, you know, with the client and grow the practice? And I have a hard time emphatically answering yes to that.
Okay.
When I see what I see with that kind of thing going on. And, you
right,
know, I mean, yeah, I hear the excuses, I didn't know, and this, that, and the other, and I'm like, there's no way you didn't know.
Right, right.
I mean, that's the feedback,
okay,
I got. Like, I didn't know, and I was like, yeah, you know.
Right.
That's
no
a
way.
Lie. He knew.
He knew.
The IT department sent us a brand-new warranted monitor, and he sent
yeah
it back.
Oh, boy.
Branch, nothing.
Because it's under warranty, you know. And this crap was going
right
on for almost
it's
a year and a half.
We're not going to get anything, and so we're not going to get anything from him. So we need to think in terms of how do we manage efficiencies without any additional allocated time from Bridget because we're not going to get it.
Right, right.
At least,
okay.
At least not, you know, I mean, under
not initially.
Leadership. I don't think so. I mean, I'm not trying to be negative, Curtis. I mean, that's just one example.
Yeah, that's just the reality, given the reality of your situation.
There's many other sort of like things, but I don't want to go into the, you know, I don't want to make it a bull session about how awful
right.
the place is. There's some good things about it too, but the bottom line is it's all about him and his book and growing his book. And maybe
right.
if, you know, I went into his office and kissed up to him and stuff like that, that would change. And I've kind of gone through the dynamics of whether I want to do that or not. And I didn't
right.
know that I really want to, honestly.
You couldn't even
yeah.
imagine it.
Meanwhile,
he now has two dedicated FAs and all of the CAs in the branch.
CAs, not FAs.
Well, he has two dedicated CAs and all of the CAs in the branch when the BSA left have continued to do the tasks that they were doing to cover for the BSA.
Yeah, which is basically more responsibilities put on Bridget Harper. And
well.
Bridget and Harper's Bridget's sister. So
okay.
at least that's our perception, and I think it's a pretty accurate one. I can't sit there and say that that void's been filled by the new hire. I know it's
right.
not filled by the other CA who's basically skirted and dodged any kind of responsibility on that stuff. So
no, we asked Bridget point blank at our last meeting.
Oh, and she said that they're still pretty much, she and Harper are filling that void. So it's a conflict of interest, and it was a concern I had when I went over to RBC working with the producing branch manager. And in retrospect, you know, I was gullible and stupid to believe their argument that that wasn't going to be an issue, because 6 years later, I can tell you, resources are an issue. You know, at any other firm, you pretty much – well, it varies by firm, as you know, but there's quite a few firms out there where an $800 million producer has a dedicated CA. And
that's
you know,
right.
We don't have that, and we don't have anything close to that. And if we had that, it would help our numbers. We're keenly aware of that. It's not something that's a new revelation on any of our parts. And
right.
you know, and I think the only way to fix it is leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Well, when you if you begin to start to contemplate that, definitely, you know, talk to me first, and you know, so that I can offer you some counsel and some advice, you know, for that purpose.
Well, we'll definitely
now,
take on that one. I mean, because we need input. It's not something where we're like, oh, we want to run out and do this in the next 12 months or something. We're not in that mindset at all. But we're also like, we're not wanting to waste the prime years of our career sitting around having somebody else steal time from our CA when we're funding 90%
trying to do business.
Compensation mm-hmm. for her, too. That's another issue, too. You know, the complex manager knows about it. I mean, they all know about it. They're just not doing anything about it. And, you know, and I'm not gonna beat a dead horse and act like I'm some victim or something like that. I mean, we just have to focus on what we can control. That's right. And
Okay.
That's the bottom line.
All right. So let's move into a little bit of what we talked about last time. You know, I took a lot of notes because, you know, you're in this period where, you know, you're finishing up a year and trying to get another one started. We talked about, you know, kind of creating this group of external advisors that can support you, you know, in terms of your client issues. We also talked about COIs, 90-day sprints, which start November 1, end in I guess January. And, you know, it's interesting. The notes were about sales and marketing, the operational side, accountability, your strategic focus. Audra's been onboarding, you know, new relationships, 15 wealth plans that you're working on, that there was a new hire that started, which should invariably free up more time for Bridget.
Well, we thought.
You were having a...
We thought.
Okay.
So, yeah, we thought, but it's not.
Okay, so that's not happening. And then, let's see, there was a $2 million referral. There may be three potential $10 million deals in the pipeline. You're building your pipeline, and you still have some gaps, is what you said. Those were from my notes. So,
yep.
So we're talking about this constant evolution, and then it gets down to your action plan for 2020. And the goals, looking at the most significant gaps that you want to try, that you have the potential to manage through. And you know, your gaps, your goals. So how are you doing with that? The other thing that we said was externally, maybe you need to have a few people in your back pocket, kind of, you know, somebody that's in your market that's a social media expert, that if you were dealing with a business that needed to raise their profile, you can refer that expert to them, and they can refer clients to you. We're looking at maybe an HR expert that really understands the whole I-9 business, et cetera, an attorney that understands succession planning and M&A, and a CFO type that consults to businesses. And so those were some of the folks that we were talking about as you think about your external advisory team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, think, continue to think about that, and who you might interview and slot in, so that when you, you know, are dealing with a client, you can say, hey, here's a team of folks that that I use for different areas for clients, and would you be interested in a personal introduction?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's... how you begin to create what we call that force multiplier effect, where you don't have all the resources to do all those things, do that research yourself, but you're going to rely on this external team to get some things done for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to coach each member of that external team on Supernova and how you work. You'll invite them to meet your team, and you will go out and meet their team and bring those resources to bear on relationships. And that's going to be like your external value added. Beyond your level of expertise in what you do, you now have resource folks, you know, that can do some things for clients upon your referral. So as you begin to think about you know, those three or four areas that we talked about in terms of marketing the practice, you know, just imagine if you had those four or five people marketing the practice for you. That would go a long way, so that you're not having to do all the marketing. That's what I'm talking about. So as you begin to put together your action plan, you know, think about trying to, you know, do some homework and identify those people that can be onboarded as kind of what I would call ex officio members of your team, this team of external advisors.
Okay.
Okay. So now you can, now you're getting some leverage, and you're working your internal resources, your insurance specialists, folks that can help you and provide guidance in the pension area, lending, credit, whatever. And then you've got this external team of professionals. Now, you have to think about who they should be based on the clientele that you're going after, but those are just a few of the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For example, I have a friend who consults to businesses, and he's a part of an organization called CFOs to Go. So he consults in the telecommunications area, but mostly in the agribusiness, the wine and the vintners, and brings to bear his expertise on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that would be like an ideal person, you know, for you to have on your team, not out here, but somebody local on your team,
right. Right.
That can support your business efforts. That's what I'm kind of referring to.
No, I understand what you're saying, because you got to find somebody where there's commonality in the client base that you work with, and where there's going to be a mutual respect and mutual regard for each other's roles and bringing value to that end user client experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So now you're elevating your client experience, because, you know, my concern, as you know, has always been, you know, how much bandwidth that you have. And so now we got to start thinking, well, okay, how can I help Kelly and Audra get some leverage without doing too many things? And the way you get that leverage is really through people. Now, having said that, how are we coming on your action plan, which would be an addendum to your updated business plan for 2020? Mm-hmm. How are we doing with that?
Not good, actually. I try to be just as upfront about stuff as I can be.
Sure.
I've got like the quarterly goals for the quarter from like October. Actually, it's November 1st through January 31st, and I've had discussions with Audra about what we want next year to look like, and so I haven't really like put pen to paper, and I think I could do that very quickly with the business plan that we developed with you.
Yeah,
and
just update
quarterly
that.
Mm-hmm. Goals that we have, because I don't really envision the next 3 quarters after January 31st.
Right.
The goals are going to look similar. The activities, as far as like, you know, building out this external team, working
right.
with the big COI that we have here and another COI that I haven't mentioned.
Right.
You know, we've got some work to do on that. From a marketing standpoint, one of the things that I've been toying with, and I need guidance on it, doesn't have to be right this minute, because it could be something that everybody needs to kind of let sink in and percolate.
All over a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is I really like, I like the corporate wellness moniker, and I like that positioning. When
right.
I look at our client base, sincerely, it's more of a family business client base.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if we need to position it more as like family business wealth advisory services or something along those lines, because our typical client is high net worth, obviously, but they tend to be kind of like the millionaire next door type. And,
right.
you know, most of them don't work in Fortune 500 companies or even, you know, Fortune 1000
right.
companies. But they have companies that probably on average are worth anywhere from, I don't know, $10 to $100 million in enterprise value. So they're not
right.
They're not the mom and pop you know, pizza store on the side of the road, but they're
right.
But they're not executives that go to work, you know, and fly around in jets and stuff.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that I can't work with those people. I mean, I feel comfortable pretty much around anybody, honestly. But as time has gone on, we've really kind of gravitated more towards that sort of family business.
We should rework that message.
I think we should.
Okay.
And one of the things I haven't told you is I went out and got my FIPA designation, which you may or may not be familiar with. But I had gotten it about 8 years ago, and I let it lapse because the firm wasn't letting us market it or use it in any kind of – it's CEPA, Certified Exit Planning Advisor. And I called up the guy who founded the group. He and I know each other pretty well, and he said, yeah, I'll give you a really discounted rate to renew your SEPA and get through the week-long training. I made some really good contacts on that. I went out to Phoenix for a week and got my SEPA renewed and all that. And there's actually some really good resources through their organization to help business owners with exit planning. And we developed good, strong relationships with investment bankers that specialize in the middle market. And, you know, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, was like you can't have too many irons in the fire. I really do need to go back to that and just say, you know, we're going to focus on using the retirement plan as a sort of entry vehicle to get to the relationship. And then once we have the relationship with the business owner, use the exit planning and all the other wealth planning services that we have, other planning capabilities, leveraging the capabilities of the firm and all that, and doing it in a way to where they go, okay, well, we see how this all kind of comes together. That messaging to me right now, our current marketing isn't awful or bad, but there's just some things in there that need to be taken out that I feel like are diluting our message. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wrote down that exact same word. I wrote down, well, retirement plan, stick with what you're good at, and don't dilute your message, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give some thought between now and the next time we speak on that message and what we can maybe do to kind of rethink, rework that. And I would say, you know, for now, don't write a total business plan. Take what you have and just tweak it.
Refine it.
Just tweak
it. I'm looking at the 2020 action plan, and I'm thinking, this is the notes I put. Make it one page. Make it goals-based.
Absolutely.
Make it time-specific. And make it about leverage, whether it's leveraging time, the capabilities of the external advisors that you were talking about earlier in the call,
right.
And then tying that together into a meaningful action plan. And then the second part of that, which is separate from the action plan, is I want to take our primary written marketing piece and tighten up the written message so that it reflects what we just said about, you know, keeping it simple and not just focusing on one or two key areas.
Okay. I think that's really what should be done between now and the next call. I've written down a full page of notes. Any questions that you have for me, Kelly or Audra, before we close?
We are 46 minutes after the hour, and I know you normally carve out 30 minutes, so thank you for that extra time. I think for us, I want to make it very clear that, you know, we are, and this is going to sound a little hokey to some people, but we're believers. You know, we're happy to practice Christianity, but I've really tried to just embrace the idea of, like, look, you know, maybe it's part of God's plan for us to stay at RBC, maybe it's not, and I'm not trying to, you know, get out ahead of that and try to get on some agenda that's about me or using excuses to try to justify leaving a firm or whatever. But I'm also not going to be infinitely patient with them either. So there's a balancing act there. And, you know, what I can say is that I don't have any plans to immediately leave. I really want to focus on the next 12 to 18
right.
months and make it the best 12 to 18 months that it can be for the people that are on the team. And along
right.
the way, we're going to need some guidance about whether it's legal help, your insight into, you know, maybe what other firms are doing or not doing, because I'm really
yep.
not about, you know, change. I could finish my career here.
Sure.
But honestly, based on what I've seen and what I've seen some of the other team members go through, I've seen it done better
right.
at other firms that, quite frankly, I wasn't that crazy about when I left them. So that's the challenge we have right now. It's just I think we need to really
okay.
focus on making sure that we don't let that experience of what we've dealt with. And honestly, I think the ones that have had it the hardest are Audra and Bridget, quite frankly. I've seen them both
yeah.
have to deal with some pretty bad stuff. And
yep.
And I just want to keep it at that and not dwell on it. But I
right.
I want to make sure that we stay positive, that we stay
sure.
focused, that we just make the best out of whatever hand we're dealt, and that we just not, you know, let it get to us, because I think we have a really good, solid team, but I think they've had been asked to do a lot more than what I've seen other people been asked in the
right.
past.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I feel bad.
Well, look,
it is what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got some focus here. You know, we're always trying to narrow down things to the two or three things that, you know, you can focus on and accomplish. And you're doing that well. And, you know, I like the communication and I like you being upfront. And, you know, it's okay to invoke a little bit of, you know, spiritual or divine intervention and guidance. So I'm fine with that.
Okay. Well, you and I have a separate call whenever it's convenient for you. It's whenever you can get to it, Curtis. We need to think
okay.
in terms of, like, you know, what kind of arrangement for the consulting services you offer in the next,
yep.
you know, year and all that. So,
okay.
I'm thinking about
well,
that
right now you still have, you know, some time, you know, for that. So really, you know, I think you're covered, I don't know, I'll have to check, but I think through January, and I was giving you some extra sessions. So so you'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll be fine.
All right. Well, just let us know when we need to have that discussion, and we'll have it.
Okay. I will.
Okay.
I will. You all have a pleasant rest of the week, and if anything is on your mind, you can certainly call me or email me, and I'll be there for you.
We appreciate that very much. Merry Christmas.
All righty. You take care. Bye-bye, Audra.
Thank you. Bye-bye.